Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this powerful teaching of Jesus. Please give us ears to hear, eyes to see who he is. Teach us how to love you and obey you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when our society talks about love, it's usually speaking about romance. Love in the sense of, you know, the Valentine's Day card, where you've got Cupid, the armed and airborne baby, who shoots his arrow and sort of infects us with love. In that kind of love, feelings of attraction come first, and then actions just can't help but follow. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus is talking about in today's passage, because Jesus is talking about love for enemies. He's talking about love for people that you're not attracted to. Jesus is talking about love toward people that you feel like pulling back from, people you don't naturally like and who probably don't like you. The kind of love that Jesus is talking about in today's passage is a love not driven by emotions and attraction, but driven by our decisions. It's a love which is interested in practical outcomes. It's a love which is a self-sacrificial commitment to another person's best interests. This morning we're looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 down to 36, and we're going to see how Jesus calls us to practice love without conditions, love without parallel, love with and from God himself. They're the 3 points. Love without conditions, love without parallel, love with and from God himself. Jesus calls us to practice love without conditions. Right at the start, verse 27, he says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Don't say, oh, look, I'll do good to you on the condition that you're friendly towards me. No, Jesus is saying, decide to do good without conditions. Jesus says, love with your actions and also with your words. Verse 28, bless those who curse you. It's funny, our Prime Minister got into a bit of trouble during the week for using disability as an insult, and he's apologised for that. He realises he shouldn't have said what he said. What I found interesting is, okay, people were upset about how those comments affect people with disability. Fair enough. But nobody seemed bothered about the fact that he was insulting the opposition. Like, it's just assumed that's what politicians do. They insult each other. You curse your enemies and bless your friends. But here, Jesus is telling his disciples to find good things to say, even to our enemies. Jesus wants us to pray for those who mistreat us. Not pray against them, pray for them. I mean, one of the amazing things about love is that sometimes, not always, but sometimes love can have a transformative impact on your enemy. Martin Luther King once said, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. But for this transformation to happen, you have to be prepared to start loving them while they're still your enemy. part of loving them is to pray for them, to pray that they'll turn to God and be saved. Jesus says, love them, even if they slap you, even if they take your clothes, even if they beg for money from you. Jesus is saying, that's all bad behavior. That's all people doing things they have no right to do. And yet, Jesus calls us to have a generous love toward everyone. It's not, if you behave, I'm willing to love you. It's, I'm willing to love you without conditions. Now, of course, wisdom means we might sometimes still set boundaries with people. We shouldn't understand Jesus as calling you to let an abuser just keep on abusing, because it's not in the abuser's best interests to let them do that. A similar way, I remember when I lived in the Middle East, being surrounded by poverty, and every time I went to the supermarket, there would be half a dozen people come up to me and ask for money, and it was a struggle. Well, there are limits to how many people you can feed. Would it really honour Jesus if I turned up at the shops to buy food for my own family to eat, but then came back empty-handed because I gave everything away? There's a point at which you reach the limits of your resources, and so every yes to one person is necessarily a no to another person. Jesus knew that. Do you remember at the end of chapter 4, so on the previous page in our Bible, there was this time where the people wanted him to stay on in their town because there were still more people that needed healing. But Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that's why I was sent. He had to say no to one town in order to say yes to another town. So it's fine to set boundaries. Jesus knows there's a limit to your resources. But what he's saying in today's passage is, don't limit your love only to lovely people. Be willing to love the unlovely. People shouldn't have to earn your love by their behavior. The second thing I want us to see this morning is that what Jesus is calling us to is love without parallel. This is a different love to the love the world practices. Now, verse 31 is sometimes called the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, I've heard it claimed that the golden rule is actually the core ethical principle in all the world religions. But, you know, actually, there's no one else who quite says what Jesus is saying. See, all the other religions put this in the negative. Like, for example, there's a Hindu text called the Mahabharata, and the saying is, don't do to others what would cause you pain. Or the words of the Buddha, almost the same, don't hurt others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Or Confucius said, that which you do not desire, do not do to others. If you go through all the other religions, they all basically say, look, leave other people alone, don't hurt them. But only Jesus makes it positive. Do to others. Take an active interest in what's good for them. I mean, this is why Christians believe in mission and mercy and development. We don't believe in leaving people alone in their misery. We believe in coming alongside them for their good. This is what makes Jesus unique. He's without parallel. I mean, the seed of what Jesus is saying is there in, it was there in our Old Testament reading. Remember, if you come across your enemy's donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. But Jesus shines out this message of love for enemies so much more brightly. This is what makes Jesus unique. But it's also what makes Jesus safe in his uniqueness. See, I remember one time having a conversation with a friend who she'd grown up Catholic and then sort of stopped. She said, look, these days I'm wary of organized religion because organized religion just creates insiders and outsiders. It creates people you love and people you hate. And that's the world's way of thinking about insiders and outsiders, because our world does know about love. Love your friends, love your family, love your country. I was talking about world religions before. Islam is a religion that does have a positive command to love. Muhammad once said, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. But did you notice who you should love, according to Muhammad? According to Muhammad, you should love your brother. It's love for the insider. What's happening here is that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to insiders and telling them to love the outsiders, to love their enemies. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. You know what? Jesus' words are intended to spur us into action, but also intended to push us into humility. Because he says, look, if you only lend money to people who are rich enough to pay you back, well, congratulations, you have reached the same level of moral achievement as the big four banks. And actually, when we think about it, often we're not even that generous. See, in reality, when you try to practice Jesus' teaching here, when you actually try to put this into practice in your life, you can't help but realize, you know what? I'm actually one of the sinners. Like, I know, as I try to love my enemies in actions and words and with my wallet, it's as I try to do that, I find that's when resentment and pride and all the stinginess in my heart, that's when that comes to the surface. Like when you're spending time with people who are easy to love, you can start to think, oh yeah, I'm a pretty good person. But when God puts you with difficult people, when it's time to love people who don't give anything back, That's when our heart says, look, how can I pull back? How can I get out? That's when actually we have to realize, no, we're not as morally advanced as we thought we were. And so when we seek to do good in this world, like, okay, when we send out our mission team to Thailand, we're not sending them as the great Western saviors. We're sending a team of people who have received amazing mercy from God, who have been saved, sinners saved by the true Saviour, and who want to humbly pass on some of that mercy that we've received. Which brings us to our final point. Love without conditions, love without parallel, is a love which is with and from God. Jesus says in verse 35, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Now, loving your enemies is not about earning your place as a child of God. That's not how father-child relationship works. But loving your enemies is about demonstrating your family likeness. Like, as you grow up in your body, you just can't help but resemble your mom and your dad in certain ways. And so if God is our heavenly Father, then we'll start to show the likeness of his love and his kindness and his mercy. See, the good news is that even though we didn't obey God as we should, we didn't thank God as we should, we didn't appreciate him, we were the ungrateful and the wicked here. And yet, how did God act toward us? Out of his love and his mercy, he sent his Son. And in his Son Jesus, we see true love in action. We see a self-sacrificial commitment to our best interests. Jesus, the Son of God, came to save us. I mean, have a look at how Paul describes it in Romans chapter 5. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. At the cross, Jesus is practicing love for enemies. I mean, think about it. On the way to the cross, he was literally slapped and beaten. On the way to the cross, his coat and his shirt were literally taken from him and he didn't demand them back. Jesus was sentenced to the cross because he was hated. And yet, what did he do on the cross? He prayed for those who persecuted him. On the cross, the people looking on cursed him. And yet he only spoke words of blessing. At the cross, Jesus was doing what it took to save us and to turn us as God's enemies into God's friends. And so we think about love. You want to see what true love looks like? Then far more than a box of chocolates or a bunch of flowers, true love is the cross of Christ. Doesn't our world need to know this kind of love for enemies? And it's as this love of God is poured into our hearts by God's Spirit that we're enabled to love without expecting something in return. See, we're enabled to begin loving the unlovely because we know that we were unlovely and we've been deeply loved. We know that whatever the cost might be to us of loving people who can't repay, there is a far greater reward coming to us from our generous and merciful Heavenly Father. Doesn't our world need to know this kind of love? I mean, think about the big issue at the moment, Israel and Palestine. You want to see enemies? There's enemies. Deep hatred. Generational cycles of hurt and revenge. I came across an interview with this guy. His name's David Zadok. He's the pastor of a church called the Grace and Truth Church. It's a church, it's a similar size to ours. It's a Reformed church, the same kind of convictions about the uniqueness of Christ that we hold to. They meet in Israel, but it's only about 30 kilometres away from Gaza. And let me read to you something that he said in April this year. He said, in the first 3 weeks of the war, there was a huge struggle inside of me. I saw what Hamas did and I just wanted our air force to flatten Gaza and to kill everyone. It took me a few weeks to understand that I'm a Christian. I'm commanded to love my enemies because of the deeper love of Christ for me. I remembered that I was an enemy of God and God sent his son for me. That was a process. I'm glad I went through it because it really caused me to understand the deeper meaning of what it is to love your enemies. When you face your enemies in such a way, it calls for a far deeper understanding of the deep love of God. Our church has helped Christian Arabs and Palestinians in Israel. We've given 20 families gift cards with a few hundred dollars on them. We're also buying life-saving equipment for our soldiers. We've given more than 3,000 grocery packs to different people, including Holocaust survivors. See, I think the point is, as a church, they're seeking to love both their friends and their enemies, both insiders and outsiders, to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Isn't that what Israel and Palestine need? Love without conditions, love without parallel, love that is with and from God Himself through Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Hurstville needs? The message of a Savior who loved even his enemies. A message proclaimed by people who are seeking to practice the love that we preach. And so, friends, let's pray now. Let's pray that God will pour his love into our hearts and that he'll enable us to live as children of the Most High. Let's pray. We praise you, our Father. We praise you that you are merciful. You've been merciful to us, even though we've been ungrateful and wicked. Please enable us to love as you have loved us. Please enable us to love without expecting in return. Please enable us to love our enemies. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.